Hebrews chapter 4 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1294. Beginning with verse 9, we'll read through verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 16. We'll read these verses responsively with special attention to the text verse, verse 12. And after reading this passage, we'll turn to another brief passage. And may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Turn to the book of Luke, page 1074, Luke chapter 2. And beginning with verse 34, we'll read verses 34 and 35. The 35th verse lending itself to the text of the message. All right, let's read this together, please. Verses 34 and 35 all together. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And let's pray. Father, what a great and wonderful privilege it is to be a member of this church. And there are many here, our members, our fellow laborers, who love and this church, and they love being here. There are many guests with us, and they've come. And thank you for this great crowd of people here to hear the word of God preached. And we pray that none will go home empty. Thou wouldst fill us with good things from thy word, and thou wouldst bless with power our preacher, thy servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please forgive me for dwelling a little extra on seasonal subjects. I spoke this morning on a subject that was rather seasonal in lieu of the fact that so many people need security and assurance at this time of the year, when it's the time of the year when more things are changing than any other time of the year. And please forgive me for dwelling tonight on the same type thing, because more people are making decisions at this time of the year than are making them at any other time of the year. I want to speak tonight on the subject of dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I've touched on it a time or two in our Wednesday evening Bible studies. I yearn tonight for everybody to hear me. I hunger especially tonight for those high school students to hear me who are seniors. I really wish with all my heart that I could prevail upon every high school senior to hang on every word that I say tonight. I'd also like to prevail upon those who have high school seniors in your home, you moms and dads. If I had my way tonight, you'd listen to every word and weigh every word carefully that I say. I'd also like tonight to beseech the rapt attention of everybody, but especially those young people who are facing graduation from college. I'd like for you to listen carefully. I'm not concerned tonight as much about what you do with your future as I am how you decide what you do with your future. That's what concerns me. And I'll be honest with you. I'm scared sick about the means and methods that many of our young people are using with which to decide their entire lives. You don't understand this. When you are deciding a college to attend, or a profession to pursue, or a mate for life, you're deciding not only your happiness, but the happiness of your unborn children and their children to a great extent. And how you need to be careful, so careful. Now, I'm not trying to get my way. I'm not trying to get you to do what Brother Hiles says. But I do long for you to use the proper method of deciding what you're going to do. I long for you adults to listen carefully. I long for those of you that are unemployed or feel that unemployment will be coming. I long for you to listen carefully to what I say tonight. This message tonight will be an appropriate message for the season. Father, please help me now and give the people rapt attention. Oh, don't let anybody that needs to hear this sermon go without hearing it. In Jesus' name, amen. The text read a while ago. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner or a separator of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Please follow my introduction. During Old Testament times, people brought their sacrifices, their animal sacrifices, to the priest. They bound the individual, bound his own sacrifice to the altar. The priest then took a sharp knife and killed the sacrifice. Then he would divide the joints from the marrow of the animal so that the inside could be seen, and then it was burned. That's a very interesting thing, that the priest would, with a knife, divide asunder the joints and the marrow before the sacrifice was burned. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, this word, this verse, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, goes back to the Old Testament sacrifice, where the person brought his animal sacrifice to the altar and bound it there, and the priest took the knife and divided asunder the joints of the marrow. The Bible says that the Word of God is our two-edged sword for our sacrifice. I am to present my body a living sacrifice. Why am I to present my body a living sacrifice? Romans 12 tells me why. 12:1 tells me why. Because of the mercies of God. Now, the first 11 chapters of Romans deal with those mercies of God. God says, Paul says, as the Holy Spirit inspired him to write what was already written in heaven, always had been written in heaven, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, what were these mercies of God? They're listed in chapters 1 through 11. He said, because of all the mercies of God, we as God's people ought to be behooved to present our bodies a living sacrifice on the altar of service to be used for the will of God. Now, he said, because of the great mercy of justification.
because in the sight of God Almighty, I am justified. My sins are not imputed to me. They have been imputed to Christ, and Christ has paid the penalty for my sins. And though I am not perfect in the sight of God, not one single sin is charged against me. And because of that amazing mercy of justification, I am supposed to present my body a living sacrifice. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying because of the marvelous love of God that has made it possible so sinners can be justified in the sight of God Almighty, and our sins are not imputed to our record, Paul said, that ought to behoove you to put your body on the altar of sacrifice and give you all to the service of God. He said because of the mercies of God, and I won't list all those mercies, but one of them is the great mercy of sanctification. How that the Holy Spirit of God sets me aside a little more for the work of Christ as I grow and as I press on the upward way and gain new heights every day. And as I, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And because of God's Holy Spirit that sanctifies me and His Word that sets me apart more and more, because of the great truth of sanctification, I am supposed to present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. I don't understand the Christian that can take the Son of God and His death on Calvary and God becoming flesh and God condescending to take upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh and God in the flesh being hated and despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I don't understand it. When God's Son went to Calvary and bore the cross up the hill and then was nailed on the cross and dipped His own soul in the torments of hell, I don't understand this half-in, half-out Christianity in lieu of the mercies of God and all that God has done for us. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence there live. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow Thee. And the Apostle Paul says, because of the mercy of justification, present your body a living sacrifice. Because of the mercy of sanctification, present your body a living sacrifice. Because of the mercy of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, present your body a living sacrifice. Because of the mercy of glorification, I already have prepared for me in the glory world a glorified body, just like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And back yonder, when God saw I would trust Him, God prepared my glorification, and someday I shall be like Him. And God said, because of that great mercy, I should present my body a living sacrifice. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. It looks like to me we ought to be chomped at the bit to lay ourselves on the altar of service. I don't understand, Christian, don't come back to church on Wednesday night. I don't comprehend that. I don't comprehend Sunday school teachers don't come to teachers' meeting on Wednesday night. I don't comprehend that. I don't understand Christians that don't want to read the Bible and pray. I don't understand that. It just looks like to me, in light of Calvary and all of the mercies of God Almighty, the Apostle Paul said, because of the mercies of God, I beseech you, present your body a living sacrifice unto God, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. In chapters 1 through 11, he lists these mercies. In chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, because of these mercies, present your body a living sacrifice. And then chapters 12 through 17 tell us the practical outworking of how we present our bodies a living sacrifice. So because of the great doctrines of chapters 1 through 11, we present our bodies a living sacrifice in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And how we do it in the outworking of that sacrifice is made or listed in chapters 12 through 17. Now, wait a minute. Hear me carefully. Perhaps it's best explained in our text. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Word of God divides asunder the soul and the spirit. Now, here's the sermon. The soul represents my desire, what I want to do. The spirit represents God's desire, what God wants me to do. Now, it is not unusual for a Christian, in fact, it's very normal for a Christian to wrestle with whether the soul has his way or the spirit has his way. Jesus said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So, it is not unusual for a person's soul to want to do one thing and his spirit to want to do another. Now, hear me carefully now. In most Christians, as I said on a recent Wednesday night, in the lives of most Christians, the soul and the spirit have merged. And the soul gets its way. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm talking about the soul. I'm talking about the way we reason to get our own way and utilize spiritual terminology and even blame God's will on us going our own way. Now, this is what I want to do. I prayed about it. Well, that's not enough. I'm sorry, that's not enough. You can pray about it as long as you want to, but that doesn't mean it's God's will. Well, I prayed about this thing. I really have. Yes, you have. You pray God let you have your way. But I want to serve notice tonight. You have no right to have your way. I said, you have no right to have your way. I said, you have no right to have your way. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You have no right. And a person in this room tonight who makes a decision about his life's ministry or his life's work or his life's mate or his life of the college he attends on the basis of if he has a right to do his to do it his own way and makes his own decision is no different from the hippie that says, I'll do my thing. Same thing exactly, and is just as carnal for a young person reared in First Baptist Church of Hammond and has been to teenage soul winning and grown up in this church to do what he wants to do as it is for a hippie to do what he wants to do. Same thing. It is your soul getting its way. Now you listen to me. What we've got to do is we've got to get the spirit divided from the soul. Let me go back a minute. You say you're just trying to get every young man to be preachers. Well, if I could, I would, but I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to get you to be spiritual and quit deciding what you want to do and tacking God to it and blaming God on it. And I'm telling you that praying about it is not enough. You have got to get in the Spirit. But most of us have had our spirit and soul merged. And the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And if you make a spiritual decision, you've got to get it divides asunder the soul, the spirit, the Word of God does it. Prayer doesn't do it. I mean, prayer is not the way you find the will of God. This book is the way you find the will of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, not prayer, thy word. We pray too much about the will of God and read the Bible too little about the will of God. It is the Word of God. Listen. Let me have Brother John, Brother Lively, stand up here, please. Stand about a yard apart. Now, here we have the Spirit, the soul, and here we have the Spirit. And we get our way so long that we bring the Spirit over and merge the Spirit with the soul. And so the soul gets his way. Now, if you want the Spirit to have his way, you've got to divide asunder the soul and the Spirit. What does it? Getting counsel from Dr. Hiles? No. What does it? Getting counsel from Dr. Evans? No, though I'm for both. And I don't think any teenager in the church ought to make a decision if his parents or his pastor vetoes it. I don't want you to do what I say. I just think if the pastor sees a bridge out down the road, you ought not to do what he says, but you shouldn't do what he says don't do. Now, if you don't believe that, that's okay, and I still love you, and I'm still glad you're in my church, but that's what I happen to believe. And what I preach is what I happen to believe. And that's why I happen to preach it. Now, but it's not the counsel of the pastor that divides the soul and spirit. We've got to figure out some way for this man to make a spiritual decision. He can't now because the soul and the spirit have merged. It is not prayer that divides the son to the soul and the spirit. It is not counsel that divides the son to the soul and the spirit. It is the Word of God. And the Word of God comes over here, and it's quick and powerful, and just like the high priest took his knife and pierced the offering, and the joints and the marrow were divided asunder, even so I hold in my hand the sword of the Spirit. I hold in my hand the sword of the Lord, the Word of God. And that sword is the divider of the soul and the spirit. And it is that sword right there that gave that spirit divided division from the soul so the spirit may make the decision. Listen to me. We've got kids in this room tonight. I don't know who they are, but I guarantee you they're here. Who are facing the decisions of a lifetime. Most important decisions you'll make in your life. And you don't read this book 5 minutes a day. You cannot make a decision in the spirit unless you live in this book. Thank you, fellas. No way. And if you don't get your spirit divided from your soul, and you say, Spirit, you make the decision, you are not going to make the right decision. You'll do what you want and not what God wants. And, you'll be spiritual as you talk about it. Now, look, if God wants you to be a plumber, bless God for plumbers. Boy, every time I got a leaky faucet, I thank God for Randy Erickson. Now, to find a man in this church, and brother, I want to say this, if everybody, every young man in this church turned out like Randy Erickson, I'd shout all night long tonight if I knew that. But the tragedy is not whether you're a plumber or not. The tragedy is the way you're deciding for yourself. And you bring God in on it and say, I've prayed about it. Doesn't matter, you pray. You can pray all night long, but the prayer does not divide the soul and the spirit. Word of God does. Oh, I long for our folks to get in the book. I long for our folks to read this book. I long for our folks to... I read this book between 10 and 20 hours every week of my life, and I am as busy as anybody in this room. But I wouldn't think about living a whole week without reading this book at least 10 hours, and usually 20 hours. Why? Because I've got too many decisions to make, and I've got to get that soul and spirit divided so God will have His will, and I won't have my will. Boy, this is good. I wish some of you dumb bunnies had listened to it. The soul represents what I want to do. The spirit represents what God wants me to do. In most Christians, the soul and the spirit have merged, and the soul has its way. The sword of the spirit divides them asunder so the spirit can have his way. Which means you, hear me now, you will not ever be able to make a spiritual decision unless you live in this book. Does not say prayer is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Says the Word of God is a light unto my feet and lamp unto my path. You say, well, how can I know that my decision is of the Spirit? I can tell you, how long you in the book? That's the way you know. How long are you in the book? Illustration. Mary says about her in the text a while ago, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. What does that mean? That means Mary had a decision to make. She had a Christ child. She had carried in her own womb for 9 months and to whom she had labored to bring forth to the world. She had the Christ child. She loved him like you love your child. And now all of a sudden she realized that she had all along that God wants him for his own. This is not a normal baby. This is God, the only begotten Son. This is God in the flesh. This is God incarnate. And Mary wanted to keep him. That's what her soul wanted. But she must let him go. That's what her spirit said do. Well, then how did the Spirit have its way? Mary lived in the Word of God. That's how it had its way. Listen, there is no way you can be a good Christian unless you live in this book. There is no way that you can be spiritual unless you live in this book. There's no way that you can watch the television soap operas in the afternoon and the primetime junk and garbage and filth at night. There's no way. And let this book lie on your coffee table shut and read it 2 or 3 minutes a day so you'll save your conscience. And there's no way you can do that and make spiritual decisions. Ladies and gentlemen, life's decisions are too important for us not to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. And the only thing that'll do it is the sword of the Spirit of God. That's the only thing. How foolish we are. And I'm not concerned where you end up. It's how you get there that bothers me. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, neath the stars of the night, walked the Savior of light in a garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Jesus' soul said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But because he lived, he who was the Son of God had to use this book with which to fight the devil. He who knew no sin had to use this book to fight the devil. He who was from the beginning had to use this book to fight the devil. He who was the way, the truth, the life had to use this book to fight the devil. Jesus. And if he had to use this book to divide asunder his soul, which said, let this cup pass from me, and his spirit, which said, thy will be done. Don't you think you can get by without the book if Jesus had to have it? And 'twas the Word of God that divided asunder the soul and the spirit. It was the fact that Jesus, as a lad, was taken to the synagogue and was caused to memorize the Old Testament scriptures. It was because Jesus, who was the living Word, lived in the written Word. And thrice when the devil came to tempt him, he said, it is written, it is written. As I've said so long, he took the eternal and stabbed the now with it. And you won't ever defeat the now. You get to always after it. I hold in my hand the always. You can't make up your mind about the will of God and find it, because that's the now. The always is what gives you God's will. The Word of God that divides asunder. I said again, young people, I'm not asking for my way in your life, though I'll tell you this. I'll guarantee you that a man who's been preaching for 40 years and counseling with young folks for 40 years probably knows a little bit more about the will of God than a young person 18 years of age does. But I'm not asking for my way. I'm asking 17-year-old young people and 18-year-old young people to get in this book and let God's sword divide your soul and spirit so you can find the Spirit's will in your life. And once you've done that, if God leads you to be an electrician, glory to God for it. And once you've done that, if God leads you to be a preacher, glory to God for it. Once you've done that, if God leads you to dig ditches, somebody's got to do it. Glory to God for it. Once you've done that, if God leads you to work on the highway crew, glory to God for it. Not what you plan to do bothers me. It's this professional kind of pseudo-spirituality that leaves out the Word of God and tries to substitute a little prayer to for the Word of God in finding God's will for your life. I have no desire to hurt you. I'm trying to keep you from tragedy and heartache and ruin. But you won't have the spiritual discernment to find the will of God unless the soul and the spirit are divided. And here is the divider. Didn't say Christian radio station is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit. Didn't say the Christian books, Bible at the Christian bookstore, devotional books are sharper than a two-edged sword, can divide the soul and spirit. Didn't say that a professional counselor that can divide the soul and spirit. It says the Word of God is quick and sharp than a two-edged sword, and divides asunder the soul and the spirit. Oh, listen to me. If you have a decision to make in your life in the next few months, live in this book. And I don't mean 15 minutes a day. Live in it. Until you do, your soul will stay, your spirit will stay merged with your soul. And your soul will control your life. I did not want to come to Hammond. My soul said, stay in my state of Texas. That's what I wanted. But I wanted more than that, to do what God wanted me to do. I spent 4 to 5 hours every day of my life in those days of decision 26 years ago now. Those days of decision through which I was going right now in the spring of 1959. I spent 4 to 5 hours every day of my life in this book. You say, preacher, what did you learn in the book? That's not the issue, brother. When you mess around with this book, it becomes a sharp two-edged sword and divides asunder the soul and the spirit. But you say, well, I don't understand it. Doesn't say I have to understand it. I don't understand the sword either. I don't understand the gizzard of a chicken, but I guarantee you a sword will divide it asunder. And there's nothing in your life. You've got to listen to me. If you've got a decision to make in the next few weeks, and hundreds of you do, I get so discouraged. I'm going to get married. I found the right one. How do you know? I prayed about it. It's not a good enough reason. No. Uh-uh. No. You better read the Word of God about it. And if you think you're in love and you think you might have found the right one, you tell him to wait about a month on the answer, and you read 4 or 5 hours in this book for about that month, and you let this book divide that soul from the spirit, so you'll have a spirit to make the decision. Or you live a life of remorse and heartache one of these days. Young people go into college because they have a football team. That's as carnal as liquor. Young folks choosing a college because they get a scholarship. That's as carnal as fornication. That's the soul. That's what it means in Isaiah 53:12, when it says Jesus poured out his soul unto death. What did it mean? He said, soul, you die. Spirit's going to make this decision. But if the spirit and the soul are merged and have not been divided asunder by the Word of God, the Spirit of God is not available to make the decision, and the soul will make the decision that will affect your life. There's no way to know the will of God unless the soul and the spirit are divided. The Word of God divides them. I wanted to be in sports when I was a young man. I love sports, still do. Love them. Love them. I pick up the paper every morning and find out what the Cubs did. I'm a Cub fan, have been for years. I love sports. I want to be in the sports world. And I can recall when I was a young man, somebody told me what I'm telling you tonight. I say this, you're not fortunate to have me as your preacher, but you're fortunate to hear what you're hearing tonight. Somebody told me something along this line, said if you want, they didn't talk about the dividing of the soul and spirit. They just said, if you want to know the will of God, Jack, you better get in the Word of God and read it and read it and read it and read it. And I got the Bible and I walked around the block and would sit underneath the street light on the corner of Elmore and Idaho Street and read the book and read the book and read the book. Why? Somebody told me if I knew the will of God for my life, I had to live in the book. I'm not talking about reading the Bible and finding some verse. Somebody said today, he said, I know God wants me to go south. I was praying about whether I ought to go south or not, and I read, opened the Bible to the words, the King of the South. Now that's idiocy. That's foolhardiness. I'm not saying you will find in the Bible words that will tell you what to do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that when you live in this book, this book will do a work in your heart that will make your spirit divided from your soul and give you spiritual discernment as you make your decision about your future.
Young people, the soul never makes the right decision. I wish tonight I could take every young person in this room, high school senior, college senior. I wish I could take every one of you tonight. I wish I could walk up and shake your hand and tell you how much I love you and how I long for you to know what God wants you to do with your life. And I wish I could explain to you and say, I'm not just preaching tonight. I'm telling you the same thing. I'd tell you if you asked me personally, how can I find the will of God? I'd say, you've got to get the spirit and the soul separated. And the only thing that'll do that is the Word of God. Young people, I beg you, if I could, I'd get on my knees. I'll plead with you. I beg you, don't make a decision concerning your life until you've lived in this book hour after hour after hour after hour. Please don't make a mistake. Let the Spirit make your decision. I ask again the question, but how can I know if the decision I'm making is of the soul, my will, or the Spirit, God's will? Once again, the answer is easy. Are you living in the book? Some of you parents advising your young people about the future, you don't include this book at all. I just think you ought to do thus and so. Well, I got news for you, Oswald and Gertrude. And sure as I say that, we got an Oswald and a Gertrude, we got a senior in high school. But I got news for you. What you think your child ought to do is carnal. And if I said, this is what I think you ought to do, if that's all there is to it, that's carnal. What you ought to do is take that daughter or son on a drive with you. And maybe you ought to find yourself a little secluded spot somewhere and open the book and just read it for about 4 hours. Just sit there and read it. There are teenagers in this room right now making decisions that affect their entire life that don't even listen to it preach, much less read it themselves. You got a decision to make, and you sit tonight whispering and talking and misbehaving. In God's name, you're playing with dynamite. My soul, what's wrong with you? Is the Bible true or is it not true? If it's not, let's all go home. It is. Let's all realize this book is a divider asunder of the soul and the spirit. And if we have the wisdom which is to make decisions, we've got to do it in the Spirit. We can't do it unless this book comes between. And the sword divides the soul and the Spirit so the Spirit can have His way. I suggest if you're facing a decision, you ought not to read this book in less than an hour a day. You ought to memorize some of this book every day if you're facing a decision in your life. I'm not saying, again, looking for the answer in the book. I'm saying looking for the divider of the soul and spirit in the book so you can make a spiritual decision. And by the way, I'm not discounting prayer either. But do you know that there's a heap of sin hidden behind prayer? I prayed about it. I know he's unsaved and he drinks, but I've prayed about it, and I believe God is leading me to marry him. That's the silliest thing I ever heard of. But I prayed about it. I'm for prayer, but I'm for prayer after the book is divided, the soul and the spirit. Choosing a mate. Shock you if you knew how many of these Hiles Anderson students getting married in 2 or 3 months. Chosen a life's mate. Without ever having the soul and spirit divided. You can't make a decision in the spirit until you let the Word of God divide the soul and the spirit. Choosing a vocation. Something you're going to do the rest of your life or until retirement. Choosing it. And not reading the Bible 5 minutes a day. Young people, you're headed for destruction. I mean that. You're headed for heartbreak. I mean that. Brother, the secret to the will of God is right here in this book. And in this season where so many decisions are being made, there are folks in this room tonight that are right now deciding on a college. There are folks in this room. You know the reason that the Word of God gives you the will of God more than prayer does? Because the Word of God gives you principles by which you make your decision. And by the way, you can't change the book. Because the book stands fast. The people in this room tonight deciding a life's vocation. There are folks in this room tonight choosing a college to attend. There are folks in this room tonight who are graduating from college and looking for a place to spend your life. There are folks tonight that are choosing a job. There are adults in this room tonight who are choosing maybe what kind of a job to take. Brother or sister, if you have a decision to make of any consequence, of course, you ought to always stay in the book. But if you have a decision of any consequence, you have got to have the Spirit of God to help you and make that decision. And you're not going to have the Spirit of God as long as the Spirit is controlled by your wishes. And the only way that your wishes can be separated from God's wishes, so you can see plainly what God wants, is that book. Right there. That book. That's it. It'd shock you if you knew how few minutes a day the choir spends in the book. It'd shock you if you knew how few minutes a day the staff spends in the book. It'd shock you if you knew how few minutes a day that the Amen Corner at Hiles Anderson College spends in the book. It'd shock you if you knew how few minutes a day the Sunday school teachers spend the book, or the Christian school teachers spend in the book. No wonder our decisions are wrong. No wonder folks come back and they say, "Preacher, I blew it." No wonder. Because the sword, the only thing that divides the soul from the spirit, is left shut on the coffee table. Oh, we sing, "Wherever He leads, I'll go." Yeah, except that's the way He leads right there in that book you got shut. Listen to me carefully. God doesn't lead you through intuition. God doesn't lead you through, you say, "Lord, if you want me to go east, have the dog bark once in the morning. Want me to go north, have the dog bark twice." No, that's not it. The Bible says, "Thy word is spirit." You get in the book. You live in the book. You memorize the book. You feast on the book. And then you become spiritual. And then God gives you a spirit that can make that decision for you, because the book has divided asunder the soul and the spirit. Father, somehow, may somebody see it. May somebody get it. May somebody for the first time have that light turned on over their heads, and may they get the idea. Oh, hear my prayer tonight. Amen. Shall we stand? The choir will sing.